mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can crawl. And you don't want to see inside of my... Chapter 56. You know, sneaking looks so much easier when Zuko does it, Azula commented, holding up the feet of a very dead man so they didn't leave drag marks in the palace's secret passages. Mai walked on, shaking her head. I mean, Azula grunted slightly, shifting the lump of meat and bone on her shoulder. His bending was always so pathetic, and Mother was always babying him. You'd think if he could do it, it couldn't be that hard. Azula, complaining. Despite the situation, Mai almost smiled.
He always liked stalking better. You liked the kill.
Not this one, Azula grumbled. It's inconvenient. Trying not to think too hard about the cooling, clothed lumps in her grip, Mai rolled her eyes.
A dead fire sage is a lot more inconvenient.
They'll report him missing, and when they do, Father's going to find him. I know, Azula said grimly. He'll dig up the gardens, dredge the harbor, yank up the wells. Sooner or later, he'll find the body. She frowned. We could try disguising ourselves and leaving it in some noble's bedroom, preferably so the wife could find it first. But they have guards, who will not be as complacent as bossing, say, soldiers. And I don't think Ty Lee would appreciate me slaughtering half a dozen people to cover one mistake. She stopped at a corner, and Mai caught her thoughtful look in the green glow of the Dai Li crystal she carried. I don't like it either. It's so messy.
Inefficient, Mai suggested.
Sometimes you just had to know what reached Azula. Yes, exactly. Azula considered the angle, lifting her part of the body higher so they could squeeze around the corner without brushing the walls. Not that they're the best, but they are trained warriors. We might need them when the Avatar attacks the capital, if only for boulder fodder.
You're sure he will, Mai observed, even when he knows you know his plans.
He's being advised by the Water Tribes and the Earth Kingdom, Azula said impatiently. The barbarians still work off a lunar calendar, and the Earth Kingdom just thinks the sun is a useful thing to have for growing crops. Try telling them the moving stars are really other worlds, or that anyone can predict where they move and when. She rolled her eyes. I don't know how Sokka found out what day the eclipse will be, but given he didn't put the actual date in his plan, I guarantee you he doesn't think we know it.
Good point,
Mai acknowledged, backing and filling until she was not sure even a fringe of red robes would brush stone.
You could ask Agent Bolin.
No, Azula's voice snapped, whip sharp. Father knows I have Dai Li. He'll question them. Her mouth was a hard line. They need to know nothing. Mai winced.
They wouldn't betray you.
You think they'd have a choice? Gold gleamed in green light, angry. I took them from Long Feng. Father could take them from me. He'd make them betray me. And that would be one betrayal too many, Mai realized. Azula was holding herself together, despite what Fire Lord Ozai had implied about her continued usefulness as his heir, but only because she had someone trustworthy at her back. I can't hide this anywhere we might be connected with, Azula thought out loud. I definitely can't bury it. If only I could make it disappear. She halted, a vicious smile spreading over her face. Turn around. We need to take a different route.
To where?
Mai obliged, backing up. That smile never boded well. The Fire Lady's quarters. Closed for over 30 years, ever since Fire Lady Ela had passed. A good place to buy them time,
if nothing else. We could wrap him tightly, and you could use a low flame to steam him dry. Mai offered. I've heard bodies found in the desert don't even smell.
Something like that. Even left to spiderflies and dust, Ela's quarters were still rich. Red water silk, trimmed with golden sea silk, like the first gleam of dawn. Mai stared past shimmering threads, for a moment wondering what life would have been like as one of the Ama diving for pina mussels, working half-naked in the sea all day, coming home to a warm fire and sea-grape-growing husband. There could be worse lives.
But I wouldn't be able to hide all my knives. Tricky.
Over here. Mai had seen firelocks before, but never one that had needed Azula's long, sharp nails to press specific points and turn before the door would open. The stone stairs down were steep, carved for one who had no patience with awkward burdens. The scent of hot rock wafted from the tunnels below, ominous as a noble's court smile. Staring at the yellow-hot lava in front of them, Mai tried not to swallow too obviously.
And one, Azula said confidently, and two, and...
She'd smelled worse as the body sank into molten stone. She had. The princess had a satisfied smile on her face.
The records say great-grandmother loved this place.
Mai let her brows climb.
I've never heard much about Fire Lady Tejina.
Oh, she was interesting. Azula stared at dancing flames. She recorded just how close you can bring someone to lava before their hair starts burning off, among other things.
And maybe I don't want to hear much now. Where did you read that?
Oh, Father read it first. He told me stories every night. The executions, the interrogations. What?
These were...
Mai swallowed, somehow not surprised at all.
Bedtime stories?
They were mine. Azula looked stubborn. Zuko had his time with Mother. Father spent time with me.
He didn't tell her how he spent it, Mai muttered.
What? Of course he did. Zuko was just too squeamish.
That's what he told you, isn't it? It's wrong. If she knew.
Mai tried to keep her voice level, despite the sudden boiling rage in her veins.
If she ever knew, Azula, she would have taken you and run, even if she had to leave Zuko behind.
But she loved him more. Azula had turned to look at her, wide-eyed.
That wouldn't have mattered.
Hugni, how to explain it?
Zuko, he protects himself. There are things he won't do, no matter who tries to make him. You love your father. You'll try to do anything for him. Lady Ursa knew that. We met Shidan. She's his daughter. If she had to choose, she would have taken you.
For a moment, Azula was utterly silent. We should get back before we're missed. Mai nodded and bit her lip on what she wanted to say.
She would have saved you, Azula. Someone would have saved you. Maybe we still can.
There was, Azula assured herself as she knelt, no way her father could know about the body she and Mai had tipped into the lava river under the city, or the various interesting tidbits she'd found on certain genealogies, or the information she dragged out of the Dragonbone catacombs on Onmitsu. None. Absolutely. She hoped. Outwardly at ease, she waited.
You do not support my plan for the invasion.
Azula's head snapped up, indignant. You are the Fire Lord, Father. Who dares say I do not support you?
Beyond the flames, Ozai's smile was thin. If you favored my plan for dealing with the Avatar's rabble, daughter, you would not have been unavailable when Commander Toke brought you rumors of his location. Trap, given what she and Mai had found in the catacombs, she knew all too well why. Oh, there wasn't anything obvious in the records. Her father wasn't crude. But if you'd skimmed the pattern of genealogy requests, as she had, and hunted up who had gotten which advantageous contracts to build or make that couldn't quite be explained in terms of past services and resources, she was the prodigy, the heir. But if there was one thing Grandfather had taught them all, it was this. Always have a backup plan. Azula hit a smirk. Too bad he didn't have one for Mother. Then again, Ursa tended to improvise rather than plan, which explained a lot about Zuko. Commander Toke has brought me no such rumors, Azula stated. Strict truth as she met pale gold eyes. Perhaps he got lost on the way to my quarters. It's happened before, usually with a servant girl involved. Now just the slightest raised eyebrow. Or perhaps his orders didn't cover informing me at all. Information has been a bit slow since Ty Lee turned down a request to visit her family, which was very rude of them. I need her here for strategic reasons, especially if the Avatar dares follow through on his plan. And her clan has information enough to deduce that. Forcing her into a situation where she must refuse an invitation by her clan elders? It lacks grace and subtlety. What were they thinking? She feared she had a very good idea what they were thinking. Get Ty Lee away from her. Get her back to where they could mind-bend her again. No, I won't have it. She'd consulted with Agent Bolin and the rest of her little cadre of Dai Li on just how you might fix someone who'd been broken that way, just in case her precautions failed, and Ty Lee vanished into their clutches again. Besides, she wanted her own Onmitsu, and how better to win them than by setting them free?
Perhaps, her father said glacially, they realized we are in the heart of our power and need not resort to pretense.
A stab of words, not meant to hit the heart, but to draw blood, weakening her in slow torture. Endure, deflect it. If they think so, they are the fools Ty Lee only pretends to be. We have ample evidence of the Avatar suborning sane, civilized people to his cause. Kyoshi Island, breaking their neutrality. A pacified prison coal rig up in a riot. A fire sage of all people, bowing his head to the Avatar. Azula had to catch her breath there, gripped by true fury. What had Sage Shiyu been thinking? It doesn't matter. In Boiling Rock, he'll have the rest of his life to regret it. Who knows how loyal the rest of them are? Azula finished, eyes narrowed. Perry, deflect. Did I deal with your missing sage? Or is he gone for reasons of his own? She hated deceiving her father. Even if what she'd found evidence for might be true. But there's no time to convince him it doesn't matter. The eclipse is just weeks away. Our preparations must not get sidetracked. Not now. Not for something as pathetic as making sure he loves me. I am the heir. I have a duty. And that's leaving aside the rash of civil disturbances the Avatars caused as he scouts our nation, Azula went on. The flow of information to her might have slowed, but she still had listening ears. Nothing else would have destroyed the Zhanghui factory. Her lip curled in distaste. General Meng got off easy with death.
deliberately dumping the tailings in a working fishery? Fish are as critical to the war effort as steel. More critical sometimes. We can seize iron from the Earth Kingdom mines. It's a little harder to seize fish. Silence, save for crackling flames. I considered sending assassins, Azula admitted, but simply having the Avatar disappear on a moonless night, or even defeated in a town square, it wouldn't be enough. They have Avatar impersonators trying to get into Ba Sing Se, 100 years after it was death to have those tattoos. It's madness. One small death won't stop it. She met her father's gaze, spine straight. He has to die. In a way, no one can raise rumors that he's ever coming back. An elegant dark brow arched. She would not sweat. Unless there's information I'm not aware of that has caused you to change your plan, father. Another taut-nerved silence. For a breath, the flames lowered. Azula caught the message, cylinder half on reflex, face perfectly expressionless. Opened it and read. To her most esteemed highness, Azula, daughter of Ursa and Fire Lord Ozai, heir to the Dragon Throne. Greetings, granddaughter. You will be well pleased to know that the strength of our people is not only in ships and bending, but the more subtle flame of resolve, even in those left behind. Byakko remains secure against the perils that lurk in the deeps of the Western Ocean, and we have taken measures to defend against the ancient threat of the North, should Avatar Aang attempt what Avatar Kessuk nearly succeeded in. Our Yuuzhan stand ready, and our firebenders will rouse Mount Shiratora, no matter the cost. Of course, we intend the matter to be solved with far less desperate measures. To that end, we have taken further steps to make territory under our clan's control more productive and bring more resources into the war, which requires more people than Byakko alone can provide. But there are many left widows or widowers by the Avatar, cast adrift by grief in villages or cities that no longer hold beloved voices. We offer them a way to seek vengeance on our enemies, even as we light flames for the fallen. As we have sought these survivors, their tales have come to our ears, to corroborate information we have gained from other sources. In brief, the current Avatar well knows what fuels a bender's power, and he has been witnessed probing deep into Avatar Kyoshi's history. Given the wheel of the heavens that returns Sozin's comet to us, along with other things, I fear I must impose on the blood between us, and remind you what an Avatar might do on the date in question. Our people will be vulnerable in the darkness, especially our civilians, who know too well what has happened in the past. It would be cruel to abandon them to such a fate, and foolish when we know the Avatar has already forced Fire Sages into treason. You are one of the few with the power and inner fire to command an evacuation, should it be necessary. More important, you have the cunning and tenacity to plan such measures in a way that will prevent the Avatar and his forces from ever learning they have been anticipated, until it is too late. Let this message find you, swift of blade, mind, and fire. Shidan of Byakko. Oh, and tell your father that while disguising Onmitsu as cabbage merchants may escape the Avatar's notice, our home guard is beginning to be bored enough to use the slower ones to troll for leopard sharks. We have made efforts to curtail this behavior, as cabbages often draw other creatures. There's only so many nutria fish a sane man can eat. Azula was not going to giggle, no matter how much she wanted to. He remembered me. And what a delightful dagger of a gift it was. Something to do. Something only she, or a very few other high-ranked nobles,
would have the authority and power to do. The Fire Lord certainly couldn't show a lack of confidence in his plans by evacuating the caldera. But Mai was a governor's daughter. Ty Lee knew the common people. The Dai Li were experienced in arranging the actions of an entire population. She had the team to do this. And it needed to be done. That grandfather had just oh so sweetly tweaked the Fire Lord's nose was icing on the pastry. He's sending those people to help Zuko, who plans to be close enough to light memorial flames for the fleet. A month ago, she wouldn't have thought that mattered, but after dealing with the Dai Li and Makoto, well, whether or not she wanted to believe in spirits, they clearly believed in her. And spirits weren't living enemies. She could believe Zuko would fight them without mercy. This is going to fit so well with my plans for General Fong. After all, Fire Nation spies had confirmed that the Earth Kingdom general still had every intention of smacking that idiot airbender into the Avatar state and setting him loose on the Fire Lord like a tame waterspout. He'd tried it before. He would try it again. Unless, of course, he was distracted. And Zuko is excellent at distractions. Her brother on his own might simply have made a strategic retreat. Air temple or no air temple. Perched on the top of a mountain with the mechanist, Zuko and his men could make life difficult enough for General Fong that the fanatic might withdraw in disgust and seek out the Avatar yet again. Ah, but give Prince Zuko and General Iroh civilians to protect? Fire Nation citizens intent on building a colony, meaning they were a stationary target? Fong will kill them if he can. He's done it before. And for all her uncle's peaceful ways, he wouldn't stand aside and let civilians fall to Earth Kingdom soldiers. He'd proven that more than once. The Dragon of the West still has teeth. He may not use them to attack, but we can still use them for war.
Byakko grows bold, her father observed. They should remember they, too, are in the path of the eclipse.
Of course they do, Azula said plainly. That's why he framed it this way. For 8 minutes, Byakko is going to have to rely completely on everything they've done to calm Shiratora down to that point. And so are we. She shrugged as if it was nothing to worry about. We can't afford to take too much offense. Not until after the eclipse. And then, well, we'll either have dealt with the Avatar or not. Either way, our people won't be enthused about turning too harsh measures on one of our own islands. Especially not one that sent a warning to protect the common people.
Dealt with him or not? Her father echoed, dry as sand.
Any plan can fail, Azula said candidly. Too many people who should know better have acted to support the Avatar, or not acted against him. She met her father's gaze through the flames, trying not to betray any twitch of her racing heart. That's the problem with fighting air. Leave any opening, and it might squirm through.
Pale gold narrowed. Air, he said archly, is not my current concern.
Don't flinch, don't move.
It has been decades since Lady Kotone first ordered her husband never to approach the capital.
Ozai mused.
In all that time, that toothless old dragon has never, ever come close to violating those orders.
A slight, cruel smile.
Not even in the wake of Lord Kuzon's tragic, untimely death. Byakko may have some few agents here, but Shidan never crosses the caldera rim. Wise of him in the wake of your mother's treachery.
Hands fisted in the sleeves of his robe.
And now he calls you granddaughter. Why?
Breathe. You have to breathe. Because he knew it would annoy you, Azula managed, trying for an air of lazy disinterest, trying not to think of what her father had revealed, in the choice of words, the calculated glitter of eyes. Byakko might hate the Fire Lords, but they're just as much a part of the Fire Nation as anyone in the caldera. The Earth Kingdom and Water Tribes won't care who any of us are. They'd murder us all, if they could. Byakko knows that. She did smile then, the calculated edge that sent wise courtiers fleeing. So if they can't challenge you to an Agni Kai, of course they'll find other methods to be annoying. What else should we expect? Silence wreathed in the hiss of flames.
Sufficient. You may go.
Azula prostrated herself and withdrew. He's angry with me. Well, of course he was, a more rational part of her mind pointed out as Azula made her way through elegant, tapestry-hung walls. She just received a friendly, family letter from the man who'd wanted Fire Lord Azulon's head on a pike, who probably still wanted Fire Lord Ozai's there, outside of the minor detail that leaving the Fire Nation leaderless while an avatar was running around loose wasn't just an invitation to disaster, it was escorting disaster in, serving it wine, and settling down for an unarmed family dinner. No, Grandfather wasn't anywhere near that foolish. Yes, he hated the Fire Lord. She knew that. She'd felt it in the quiet moment between sleeping and waking every dawn. A misty memory of the ship, a warmth of sharp-nailed hands, and a growl as fire ate the scars from her lightning-ravaged heart.
You are cruel and scheming and ruthless, but you are my granddaughter.
She hadn't dared believe that feeling, that sense that Shidan of Byakko knew what she was, all of it. And if he wasn't happy with what he knew, he at least saw it. Not the true heir, born too late. Not Mother's hopeless case. Just me. Acceptance, acknowledgement of who she was. It had been too good to be true. But the letter. Zuko couldn't do this. He'd never be able to manipulate enough nobles in time. Mother couldn't. She'd want to warn the whole city, and we can't. It would tip our hands far too soon. No, what Shidan had offered her was a task that needed someone ruthless, manipulative, even cruel if that's what it took to move the most lives out of the battlefield while keeping their trap intact. He sees me. He really sees me. Why couldn't Mother have done that? Points of pain stabbed her palms. Azula forced herself to relax clenched fists. It didn't matter now. It didn't. What mattered were her plans, her nation and her people, and making sure Tylee had some privacy to blast things when she finally read those scrolls on Onmitsu, especially the ones about Kuzan of Byakko. I think I'd rather face the invasion. After all, there would be tears. What on earth was she supposed to do about that? Killing things just didn't make Tylee feel better. Definitely easier to face the invasion. The eclipse would be tricky and dangerous and lethal to some of her people. But when you boiled it all down, it was an invasion planned by barbarians. And what do Water Tribe raiders know about subtlety? Step, slice the air with gleaming black, retreat and circle, shifting his stance to skirt boots' soft rattle through the ash, and all the time keep an ear cocked to just over the blackened ridge, where Toph and Katara were watching Aang in his spirit trance.
You need to focus.
Even after the past few days, and especially nights, Sokka still almost jumped out of his skin at the familiar whisper. Could you not do that? pale as a reflection in water, Timul smirked at him. She didn't seem to be here. She didn't seem to be solid. But the past week had proven her blade still burned chill enough to tag him when he screwed up.
Your friends can look after themselves for a time. Focus on the kata.
Sokka took a deep breath, let it whistle out. I can't. Dark dust rose around his feet as he waved at the wreckage of an island. It shouldn't be like this. And why he was so sure? He didn't want to think about it.
No, Timul agreed. A century is time enough for any volcano to grow green again.
Her footsteps raised no dust. Wind blowing past her was chill as night.
In the Earth Kingdom, the Lord is the land. To a point. Among fire, the Lord is the domain. It's not the same, but there is overlap.
Pale gold searched the landscape. Grim.
All the Fire Nation was Sozin's domain. And here, he blackened his soul with the greatest betrayal. It scars the land, even to this day.
Like the fire scar where he killed you, Sokka realized.
Like it, yes, the ghost acknowledged. But this was no mere dragon child's death. This was an avatar's.
Roku died here. Sokka sheathed his sword, turning to run.
He's in no danger.
Sokka shot her a skeptical look, tried not to think of how much of the landscape he could see through her.
You won't want him to stay long, Timul said dryly, but a few hours will not risk much. I will not harm him. That you know.
Yeah, I know, Sokka admitted. Aang could walk right past her, and she wouldn't touch a hair on his head. She'd had her revenge. Me. He knew what a volcano should look like, knew it down to his bones. He walked over ashy soil the same way he would have snow, knowing by look and shadows and the taste of air what was safe and what would suck you under like quicksand. He hadn't needed Toph's feet to know there was a village buried back there. And from the feel of the ashes, the kind you only got when lava came thick and heavy and fast, he had a bad feeling about how many people hadn't gotten out. How did it happen? Sokka threw up his hands. Roku was an avatar. Timul snorted.
Roku was a young fool of a firebender, plucked away at 16 and told to master the rest of the elements. You don't set a teenager on volcano watch. They don't know enough. They aren't patient enough. They don't listen with the heart and eyes and whiskers.
Dragon listening, she meant. And it hurt Sokka's brain that he understood that. A master firebender didn't just look for smoke and steam. He felt the fire in the rocks, the charge moving magma gave the air, the little flames of living things moving away from oncoming death.
I know one cub that young I trusted with a volcano, and he had a dragon at his side.
Timul went on more quietly.
He'd been raised to the duty. He knew Shiratora the way you know the icy coasts. And if I'd been living, I'd still have held my breath for years waiting for Byakko to fall.
Her eyes grew distant.
I know two now. But the prince has had hard years to beat the recklessness out of him. He'll hold if anyone can.
You think Zuko's not reckless? Sokka gave her a look. Sometime I've got to tell you about him, the North Pole, and turtle seals.
Timul gave him a toothy grin.
Oh no.
Firebender, the ghost said succinctly. Breath control.
But, Sokka sputtered, diving!
Think of the Ama, Timul chuckled. Marines are trained to swim in armor, Sokka. You know that.
A chuckle.
Or ask him yourself when you next meet.
Right, Sokka muttered.
like I'm in a real hurry to run back into a guy who cuts his nails with rocks. Oh. Oh, hell. Pale gold eyes, stone-cut nails, and utter, bone-deep fury when people's words didn't match their deeds. Like Temul. Dragon child. He knew what it was. He knew, and wanted to wince down to his bones. The guys you never let near airbenders because the monks say a dozen things and never mean any of them. And when a dragon child flips out, there's no way to tell the dragon that bison shouldn't be food. Kuzan would have known that. Why did you go to the Western Air Temple? Sokka blurted out. You knew the nuns would be watching their bison to see if they could trust you. Aang does that all the time. And the bison know you smell like that you're not... He couldn't say it.
Not human, child of water. Timul's laugh was a bittersweet rumble. Ah, yes, I've heard that one before.
A soft sigh.
Young one, there was no one else to go. Better to hear their insults. Yes, and even their threats. And try to save lives. There is the hunt, and there is slaughter. No true dragon joys in slaughter.
A shadowed shrug.
We may be good at it. We may glory that we live because our enemies are dead. But that is necessity and the survival of the clan. It is not to be sought. I would no more have thirsted for the lives of those misguided, ignorant fools than you would.
But her words were shadows, not sounds. And when he listened, we wasn't we, and you wasn't you. We was the children of flame, Agni's own, and you was adopted cub of my clan. Sokka stiffened. I'm water tribe.
By which you mean you are human.
Temul said, half to herself.
Do you know what human is, Sokka?
A sharp-nailed hand gestured towards the scrolls in his pack.
More, do you know what it was?
Almost against his will, Sokka took out the painted lady's message. Seek the skilled swordsman, that he may set you on the path. No, that was the easy translation. The one he might have read to Aang weeks ago, if he'd been able to read High Court at all. Before Temul had shoved the knowledge of an heir of Xu Jing into his head. It was easy, and it was wrong. Seek the skilled swordsman, that he may set those who guard the world spirit on the path. How will the world spirit and its bearer end the war if the human who is the world spirit's bearer knows not what ended the peace? I speak this so that the human who bears the world spirit must learn to understand, to think, if only for a flutter of heartbeats, in the way of those the world spirit and its bearer call alien, outcast, not of mine. The children of flame are not alien. The father of fire stretched his wing over King Gami's wingless heartkin, to join them with the dragon clans and the spirits of the fire isles, and the world spirit did not bid him nay. He chose we who bear flame and sword and spirit, and he set no limits on that choice. For we of wingless fire were already change and destruction and building new. Then sickness scythed down the flameless humans like grain, and the children of flame cried out to the father of fire. He nursed us, and we took fire's gift to heal those flameless we could. But the children of flame were too few. Other powers roused then, curious, and roused the world spirit, that they might gather up those fire did not shield, and the world spirit did not bid them nay. But from them, the world spirit you bear took a price. Forget. Forget power, forget learning, forget all rooted in knowledge that was not of this world and no other. But the children of flame were dragonkin, father of fire's eyes and ears.
The world spirit and its bearer could not make us forget. The children of flame remember what the world spirit and its bearer have stolen from us. The children of flame remember when 100 years passed as a day. The children of flame remember what the world spirit and its bearer wish humans to never have known. The children of flame know why Makoto would kill her own clans, all clans, to kill the human who is the world spirit's bearer. Will the human who bears the world spirit ask us? Hands shaking, Sokka let the scroll roll closed. It can't be true. Would it were not. A misty hand knuckled the side of his face, sharp nails carefully tucked away from skin. A chill gesture of comfort. You see me as old, cub, but there was a time when all humans, yes, even water tribe, lived as long as dragons. A dry chuckle. It's why fire ghosts are so stubborn. Part of us knows we shouldn't be dead. Sokka scrunched his eyes shut, unwilling to look. But it doesn't make sense. Why would the Avatar? Because we don't fit. Timul sighed. In all this world, there are 4 creatures whose lives now outlast humankind. Dragons, walking whales, lion turtles, and a pair of koi fish who are not fish at all. Wait, what? Avatar, Timul harrumphed. What an inaccurate word. The world spirit, Sokka, is born into human flesh. Yes, but it is not human. You know well enough that while spirits may be cruel or kind or even selfless, they are not so for the same reasons as humans, or even dragons. Reluctantly, Sokka looked towards Boots Rattle. He saved Toph's life. It'd taken him a while to figure it out. Between Shaman Tao being grumbly about bending smoke and Toph just flat out not wanting to talk about the tentacled horror she couldn't see coming. But he'd put it together. The Beto Beto had tried to warn Toph, tried to get her away from the water. And when that hadn't worked, Boots had stayed, even when a sea spider could have squashed him like a bug. You like her because she's trouble, Sokka decided, eyeing the faint swirl of ashes above the sound of tapping toes. Because she's loud and stubborn and she shakes the ground, and that scares people, which is what you live to do. Aang thinks you're her friend, but it's more of a partner in crime, isn't it? Happy stomping, like a crazy guy testing spring ice. Right, Sokka muttered, eyed Timul. You were alive when Roku was the Avatar. Why didn't you tell him? There was much I did not learn until after my death, the ghost said bluntly. As for human lives, I did try to tell Roku. She winced and seemed to huddle in on herself, shadow on shadow. I've never seen any firebender age so fast. Wait, wait, Sokka held up empty hands. That doesn't make sense. You keep old age from biting by moving your chi, and he was the Avatar. The human who is born the world spirit's bearer, one of thousands. One Avatar dies and the next is born. Dragon children were born paranoid. That didn't mean they were wrong. Sokka gulped. You think it was killing him? Killing? Oh no. Temul's voice dripped irony. As your young airbender would say, it wasn't killing anyone. It simply wasn't helping him not die. And he could almost hear Aang saying it too. Well, maybe not that exactly. Aang hated it when things died, even if they were scrumptious lunches on legs, but ouch. But the wince turned into a shudder as the implications hit home. Hold on. If you think Roku was dying because you tried to tell him the truth, he stared at the scroll tucked into his pack. That's a trap. Yes. Pale gold gleamed, proud as Hokoto when he'd brought home his first fish. Yes, Cub, of course it is. She is a spirit, bound to that river, to these isles. And Avatar Aang comes to strike down the Fire Lord, the great name Kyoshi set above us all. Hate him or love him, she must try to stop you. Stiffness eased out of Ancient's shoulders, and Tamul shook her head. Bear her no ill will, Sokka. She tried to twist the blow awry as much as she could. But remember where you are. Remember what you fight. The great names have power over all in their domains, and Ozai is the greatest name of all.
You mean everything here is trying to kill us? Sokka concluded.
Almost everything, Tamul agreed. Be wary. Be careful. Sokka nodded, thinking that through.
So how are you trying to kill him?
Tamul chuckled. Ah, but what have I to do with Avatar Aang? Sokka pointed a thumb towards himself.
Yes?
A white gleam of teeth. Why, here I train an heir of my clan. What a young hothead might choose to do with that training is his own choice. Her smile softened a little, iron rather than steel. I am a ghost, Sokka. I am not bound as a spirit is bound. You are my vengeance, and so I can protect you. To a point. She sighed, like cold wind through dead leaves. But I cannot protect you from yourself. You claim that fool boy as your family, and he is not. He cannot be. The airbender is what he is, and that will never change. You pour your heart into him like water. Sokka, there is nothing in him that can give it back.
Yeah, Sokka admitted, almost a whisper. I know.
Cold sparks burned about white wisps of hair. You know?
I'm Water Tribe,
Sokka shrugged, almost tempted to laugh. It wasn't funny, except it was, in a way that would have had Katara checking him for a fever and Toph getting rocks to throw. I'm not going to lose it if he lies to me, and I'm not going to die. He glanced away. He's Aang. He's a fun kid, and he tries to do what's right. Maybe Kuzan needed more than that. Maybe he should have gotten it. But me? I'm good. I'm not a bender, Tamul. I'll be fine, okay? He ran that back through his head and smacked himself in the forehead.
I'm telling the ghost that kidnapped me into her clan not to worry. When did my life get this weird?
You've more sense than most, but you're still a cub. I will worry, Tamul said frankly. You love fire when it warms and hate it when it burns, but it is still fire. The ghost shook her head. He who bears the world spirit may be your friend, but never think that the world spirit is. You and I, one life against all that lives and does not live in the world? No. We are only flickers of flame that spark and die.
Fire is life.
And that was just a whole weevil rat's nest of implications he did not want to think about. Not now. Not when the way Tamul's shade was flickering meant she was about to leave. And there was something he had to know. Tamul, Sokka nerved himself and reached for the formal words. Elder.
What's a walking whale?